Dollar stores have become ubiquitous in the American landscape. In many places, you can't drive a mile from a dollar store before you hit the next one.
You could really make it its own kind of like a road trip game, just counting dollar stores. Like me and my colleague did this between the Mississippi border and Birmingham. It's just an absurd amount here that is just literally noticeable.
That's Stephen Bisaha, the wealth and poverty reporter for the Gulf States Newsroom. This week, we're revisiting our conversation from last summer about the rapid expansion of dollar stores across the South. In February, Family Dollar was fined more than $40 million for having a rat-infested warehouse. It was the largest penalty ever for a food safety case. Meanwhile, competitor Dollar General just opened their 20,000th location, and both companies are planning more stores. That growth has prompted pushback. They can be convenient, and in many places they're necessary, but we're only beginning to understand their true impact. I'm Anissa Khalifa, and this week on The Broadside, we ask, how many dollar stores are too many?
My name is Stephen Bisaha, and I'm the wealth and poverty reporter for the Gulf States Newsroom.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really interested in talking about this with you.
Yeah, it has been an obsession of mine for well over a year now, so it's always exciting just to get to talk more about it.
What was your initial spark for becoming interested in this?
Okay, so about a year ago, someone reached out to us because they had heard a bunch of dollar stores were like temporarily closing like across the Gulf South.
Now to a developing story, hundreds of Family Dollar stores are closed across the Mid-South. This widespread closure comes after the Food and Drug Administration sent out an alert about contaminated products.
At the time, there is this warehouse for Dollar Tree in Arkansas, and they found, it's a pretty disgusting story, like something like 1,000+ dead rats at the place, like more signs of more being alive there. Like all these like hundreds of Family Dollars shut down temporarily to like get rid of the contaminated products that they had there. So my idea was, okay, if we're gonna cover this, let's find a town where like they don't have a grocery store. We know that's the case for a lot of rural towns, no grocery store, and the dollar store is like their one kind of source to buy food locally. So we went through this list of several hundred stores, and we're looking on Google Maps, and we could find plenty of places in like Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana where we were looking, where there was no grocery store and there was a Family Dollar, and when that shut down, but there was always also a Dollar General. And that was so strange to me. I mean, I did the story, it went on NPR's Weekend Edition. But I kept on thinking about this. How is it possible that these small towns that can't support a grocery store have two different dollar stores? It was just so common that was the case.
So as you continued your reporting on this, what did you find? And can you put that into the broader context of dollar stores in the South and what's unique about them?
Well, dollar stores have really kind of taken over the South. I mean, we have, to put national context first, 35,000 dollar stores, if you include like just the main ones, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Dollar Tree. 35,000 stores across the country. That is more stores than Walmart, Starbucks, and McDonald's combined in the United States. So
wow,
just a staggering number of stores. Yeah. And when we look at the South, it's much more dense here. Like looking at North Carolina in particular, you got around like 1.5 stores per 10,000 people. Like, what does that really mean? Well, it's like nationally, there's only around one store per 10,000 people, which is still huge. But essentially, like there's just a lot more of these in the South. Like in Mississippi near me, we have something like 50% more per person than like nationally is when it comes to the dollar stores. So there's a ton of them here. They are more common in the South. Part of the reason could just be because Dollar General basically got its start in Tennessee and kind of spread from there. The other part is that they tend to do really well in rural areas where there's just not many other options. I mean, but since then, they've kind of spread everywhere.
Has that growth been like very recent? And then why do you think that they're growing so fast?
So you go back to like 2008, Dollar General had around 8,000 stores. And they've been growing for a decent while, but like really then, that's when we start seeing the number of these stores start to pick up, where you're starting to add around 1,000 Dollar Generals a year. one possible explanation for that is the Great Recession, is that a lot of Americans had tighter budgets because of the Great Recession. So they were going to dollar stores more often. We saw that during the pandemic, that dollar store sales, people going to them really rose because people's budgets were tighter. As for like what kind of explains the growth, I remember when I was looking at this thinking, well, there's all sorts of weird, interesting explanations, such as Dollar General, it's getting more into healthcare. So they're running like kind of health clinics in some small rural areas, particularly kind of like a small CVS. You're seeing a bunch of Dollar Generals get into banking. They sell customer data, and they make that pitch that they have data on rural customers that no one else has. So it's like, okay, is that part of the explanation? And then when I talked to like different analysts about it that were following Dollar General and dollar stores, they're like, yeah, you know, that's all icing on the cake. It really just comes down to they just run stores as cheaply as possible.
Yes. How much for this Revlon shampoo?
Everything in the store is $1.
Wow.
Believe it. Everything's a dollar at Dollar Tree.
Are you new?
No.
What makes a dollar store a dollar store? It's not everything being priced a dollar. Actually, like Dollar General and Family Dollar, like things are often more expensive than a dollar. Dollar Tree was kind of the one of the main brands that was like, all right, everything's a dollar. They recently raised that to $1.25 is everything. So none of these stores are really dollar stores in the literal sense anymore. But what makes a dollar store is cheap. They are very cheap stores. And when we say that, we mean like cheap as not just prices, but the buildings are very cheap to build. The actual like payroll, they hire as little people as they possibly can to run these stores. So sometimes you see these stores with just like one person inside at a time. And then you also have the products that they sell. So because, you know, produce runs the risk of spoiling. So they're not going to have items like that. The benefit of that really is, because it's so cheap to operate these stores, they can open them where no one else can. So in rural areas where you have like a lot of stores that have closed down, where not many places can afford to open, well, dollar stores can.
I wonder, I mean, something like this that's going into these communities so rapidly, has such a high level of saturation, and then is also running things so cheaply, I'm assuming there are consequences, right? And what impact does that have on the communities where they are?
Well, the biggest concern about this impact is that these dollar stores are pushing out grocery stores. And that just comes down to this idea of like what you make money on when you're a grocery store isn't necessarily the broccoli. You might make some profit on it, but what you're mostly making profit on is that pack of M&Ms, is the gum, those are the things that are high profit items that help a grocery store with their very thin margins, like 1 or 2% margins for staying open. That bag of chips is what helps them to actually be able to afford to do it. Dollar stores, they're not going to be stealing your sales of broccoli necessarily, because they're probably not going to have broccoli. To be fair, let's say Dollar General is expanding the amount of produce that it is offering at stores. Something out of their 19,000 stores right now, about 3,000 offer produce. We don't really know exactly how much that. It's definitely not like produce like your giant supermarket or even a small grocer, but some are offering some produce. But that gets us the idea of what they are competing with these grocery stores in is those high profit items. It's the bag of potato chips. It's the canned goods, the candy in the aisle. And I remember I was talking to like a Kansas State University's Rural Grocery Store Initiative, and they said when they surveyed and talked to different grocery store owners back in 2021, they said, hey, when a dollar store opens up, that can cause like a 20 to 30% drop in sales. Now, some other studies have shown that there is a drop, not nearly as dramatic. But again, when you have a 1% or 2% margin to keep you in the black, having a dollar store come in and taking any sales can be really threatening.
We'll be right back after this break.
I'm Anita Rao, host of the weekly podcast Embodied. It's a show that no matter the topic, dives into unexpected territory, like what it's like to first get an autism diagnosis as an adult, or how BDSM communities may change the way you think about kink. You'll meet folks who aren't afraid to question what we think we know about intimacy, and who have some fascinating stories to share about their relationships. Listen to Embodied and let's take on the taboo together.
Hey, this is Jared Walker. I'm an editor here at WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. Each week, I work with Anissa, Charlie, and the rest of the team here at The Broadside to bring you stories from this fascinating place we call home. But we can only do that with your support. So if you've enjoyed the reporting and original stories you've heard in the podcast, please donate by clicking the link in this week's episode description or go to WUNC.org and click the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the page. Thank you so much. Okay, now let's get back to the show.
With the neighborhood protesting plans for a Dollar General. So the question is, would you want a dollar store in your neighborhood?
Line the streets of Salisbury as residents push to prevent a Dollar General store in their neighborhood.
Oh, Salisbury.
No Dollar General! No Dollar General! Shame on you!
I noticed in your reporting that there's been a lot of opposition from communities, right? Of people saying, no, we don't want a dollar store in our neighborhood. Why is that?
Yeah, you got like something around since 2019, like 75 communities that have specifically rejected dollar stores. And look, this is ultimately like small numbers compared to the fact that Dollar General opens around 1,000 stores a year. That's 3 stores a day just for Dollar General. But it is noteworthy, and those numbers do seem to be ticking up, the number of communities that are rejecting dollar stores. And they have all sorts of different reasons. Concern about grocery stores. Concern about things like traffic. I went to one small town in Tennessee where their thing was like, look, Nashville's growth is encroaching further and further south towards us. We want to keep this as a rural area. And we feel if we let dollar stores come in, that's going to start accelerating that growth that we don't want. And they would be just as unhappy to see, say, a McDonald's or another big brand opening there. But the other big brands aren't opening there, at least not at this point. Like the Dollar Generals and these other dollar stores, they're capable of opening up where no one else can. And some people feel like they're losing like the rural way of life with that.
This makes me think a little bit about, you know, in the 1990s, there was a lot of publicity about big box stores and how they were, you know, maybe ruining or emptying out main streets in a lot of towns, especially in smaller towns in the U.S. Do you see any like parallels, not necessarily between the situations, but how communities, you know, have kind of responded and how they've organized around this issue?
I think it is a much more aggressive and organized response. And it's not just a message of shop local. It's a message of like, put this into law, like use the law against these stores. So like in the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, the organization is kind of on the forefront of fighting against dollar stores. They have this kind of 4-step playbook for fighting a dollar store. Number one is slowing the process down. Like you hear that there's a dollar store coming to your town that they're looking to open up. Maybe get your local lawmakers, the county or the city council, to put a moratorium. Say, okay, we're pausing development on dollar stores, really any kind of stores for now while we look at this issue. Because these things can move pretty fast. And then that gives you time for step number two, is finding like a legal way to stop them. And it might be some sort of dollar store ordinance, sometimes dollar store ban, which many cities have put in. The third step is really coming down to convincing the lawmakers. So again, going to that zoning meeting and convincing lawmakers to vote no. Kind of your classic grassroots, is getting petition signed, flooding the meetings, public comments. That tends to be pretty effective. And then step four was a really interesting one because it said, essentially like win or lose, be prepared for the future because the dollar stores will be back. So like I had heard stories of dollar stores coming back like 3 or 4 times to try in one community. And again, even if they already have one there, like they're often looking to open multiple stores in an area. So again, that last step is also a warning. Like just because you won once against a dollar store doesn't mean that they're not going to try again.
So there's a sense of not wanting to play catch up and trying to get in front of this issue as early as possible.
Yeah, that's a thought. The thought is like the issue is already a problem in many communities, at least when you talk to the advocates about it. And like we have seen cities take initiative, particularly 2019 was around the time where a lot of cities started to step up and say, we don't want any more dollar stores. At least we want to put some restrictions on them. So like Birmingham, Alabama, New Orleans, they passed these laws that said no new dollar store within a mile of one that already exists. And again, the thinking is in many of these cases, there's already so many dollar stores that means no new dollar store can fit. Because they did, like, if you draw that mile circle around all the dollar stores, there's not much left on your map for a new one to open up. You're essentially kind of banning them in general when you create a law like that.
There are some people who think one-size-fits-all solutions like that are an overreaction. You spoke to Lauren Chenoritas, an assistant professor at Arizona State University's Morrison School of Agribusiness. Can you tell me what she shared with you about the impact of dollar stores?
Yeah. So when you see a lot of media coverage about dollar stores, it tends to be pretty negative in taking that line of they are forcing out grocery stores. Dollar stores are a grocery store's natural enemy. And Lauren was looking at this at the time, was kind of really surprised. She had said, like, there's not really the empirical data to back that up. And she had done her own research into this. And the main thing she had found was that size really matters here.
The larger the grocery store, the less likely a dollar store is a substitute. When the grocery store looks more similar to a dollar store on these observable characteristics like store size, it's more likely to be a substitute.
So if you're looking at an urban area, a city, the dollar stores probably aren't much of a threat to your large supermarkets there. But when you start to have like your local mom and pop stores, when you're in more rural areas, that's when we see the effect of these dollar stores start to really grow and threaten the grocery stores. The one big question here really is what's the right amount of dollar stores? Because as Lauren had said to me, these stores can be helpful. It's not like grocery stores in rural areas were killing it before dollar stores existed. Grocery stores, particularly in rural areas, have been struggling for a long time. Like we said, it's a tough business with tight margins. But again, that question of what are they actually doing to grocery stores, whether or not they're actually forcing them out, it kind of comes down to this question of dosage. So like the difference between, if you probably might have heard this idea of like the difference between poison and medicine is the dose. It's the amount that you get. So $1 store in an urban neighborhood is not going to make much of a difference. But then you start to have like a dozen in some cities. Like New Orleans East, they have something like a dozen dollar stores in their neighborhood. New Orleans itself has more than 30 across the actual city. In a rural area where you have like just only 2,000 people, if you have two different dollar stores, that tends to be a lot. In some cases, you potentially have three. That can really cause a lot of impact. But then when you talk to, again, like Stacy Mitchell with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, that's this group that like they advocate for local businesses over big corporations. And they've been the ones that have been really sounding the alarm against dollar stores. Stacy would say like, look, we can't wait.
And this is a big part of how, you know, the dollar stores are really, you know, a part of the whole problem of food deserts. If we allow the dollar chains to keep multiplying at this pace, we're going to look back in 10 years and be very sorry that we did that.
I mean, if you listen to like the very exciting like kind of shareholder like annual report, these kind of call-ins for these different companies like Dollar General, and you hear them talking about like the potential for growth. Dollar General, again, they have 18,000, or actually more than 19,000 stores now. They see room for another 12,000. Family Dollar and Dollar Tree, they see room for like doubling their number of stores. We're talking about, and they're probably competing for some of the same stores, but if they all get what they want, we're talking about doubling the number of dollar stores in this country to something like 70,000. And that's not gonna happen in the next year or two, but again, we already have more dollar stores than Walmart, McDonald's, and Starbucks combined, and we're talking about potentially doubling that. So that's where this big concern comes from. Thought that we already have too many, and the dollar store trains, it's continuing, so waiting for more research is only going to make things worse. What's worth mentioning, though, with like, we kind of mentioned all these different critics when it comes to dollar stores.
A lot of people in rural towns and in cities, they really love their dollar stores. Like when I was in New Orleans East, I went to like one, after I kind of got this driving tour of the city from this business leader talking about the ordinance and how he was happy that it meant like no new dollar stores can open up there. I was talking to shoppers and one guy had said, oh, he hates the law. He thinks like part of the selling point of dollar stores is how many there are, is the idea that like it's convenient. There's one that's always within a couple miles of you or even less. The density is kind of the point.
What do you think are the long-term ramifications for this kind of expansion?
I think coming back to that idea of what's the right amount of dollar stores, it's going to, as we were saying, it's going to vary by place by place, but there's a good argument that in some areas we are already well past that saturation point. And if you're going to add so many more dollar stores, you got to imagine a lot more communities are going to tip over. Like, it is hard to argue with the fact that a grocery store is better than a dollar store for a community. A dollar store is a very poor replacement for a grocery store. In a place that doesn't have a grocery store to begin with, certainly a lot of benefits can come from having a dollar store there. But that idea of dollar stores forcing out grocery stores, I do think that varies by location, but I think that's only going to become more common as these stores continue to grow. That saturation point, keep on adding stores, it's going to be reached eventually. To act like having a dozen dollar stores in a neighborhood doesn't have an effect, I think we have to acknowledge that they do affect a neighborhood.
That was Stephen Bisaha, the wealth and poverty reporter for the Gulf States Newsroom. You can find a link to Stephen's extensive dollar store coverage in this week's episode description. This episode was produced by me, Anissa Khalifa, and our editor, Jared Walker. Al Wodarski and Sean Rue provided audio engineering support. The Broadside is a production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Find us on your favorite podcast app and on WUNC.org. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a rating, a review, or tell a friend to tell a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.